Tonight we give thanks to God our Father for his blessed maidservant Mary, the Virgin Mother of God's own Son, our incarnate Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 7. In those days, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you will weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel is from Luke chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahshua," or Jesus. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The sermon. Saint Mary is mentioned repeatedly in the Gospels and the Book of Acts, with nearly a dozen specific episodes in her life being recorded. Her betrothal to Joseph, the annunciation by the angel Gabriel, like we read tonight, that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, her visit with Elizabeth, her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist, the nativity of our Lord in Bethlehem that we prepare to celebrate in a few days, the visits of the shepherds, and later the wise men, the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple to Hannah and Simeon, the Holy Family's flight into Egypt to escape King Herod's sword, the visit to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12, when they lost track of him for 3 days. Mary was present at the wedding at Cana in Galilee when Jesus performed his first miracle. Mary was there at her son's crucifixion when he shed his blood for her and for you. She was there when he commanded her to care for his beloved disciple, saying, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Mary was there at the tomb on the day of Christ's resurrection. And lastly, Mary was there on Pentecost, gathered together with all the apostles in the upper room, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. You know the hymn, "Were You There?" that we often sing during Lent. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Right? As it continues on, "Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? When God raised him from the tomb?" In truth, none of us were there. Mary was. Early disciples of Jesus could actually go to Mary and ask, "Mary, were you there when..." And she could say, "Yes, let me tell you all about it." Mary was there at Christ's conception, his birth, his ministry, his passion, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and his sending of the Holy Spirit. Mary's first-hand account of these important events have been recorded for us in the Gospels of Luke and John and other books as well. What a treasure we have to ponder in our hearts. God be praised. The Church especially remembers and honors Mary for her unconditional obedience to the will of God. At the announcement of her virgin conception, full of faith, she said to Gabriel, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Such unconditional obedience and humility. Beautiful. The Church also takes note of Mary's loyalty to her son, even when she didn't always understand him. What mother does, right? From John's Gospel, "On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine had run out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Mary was obedient and loyal. But above all, Mary is remembered for the highest honor that God has bestowed on any human being, save for Christ Jesus. She is the mother of God's incarnate Son. "Blessed are you among women," Elizabeth says, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Luke 1:42. Now, according to tradition, Mary went with the Apostle John, that beloved disciple, to Ephesus, where she later died a natural death. Thus, Mary is commemorated with white paraments in the churches, white paraments instead of the usual red, which is reserved for martyred saints. If you get a natural death, you get white paraments, which we also find in most of our congregations at the death of any of our beloved sainted members. The white funeral pall is placed over the casket. Beautiful remembrance of baptism being washed clean. So a natural death gets white paraments like Mary. Now, Mary is a beloved and blessed gift of God, not just for Jesus, but for us. Her son's flesh and blood is our life and salvation. And where do you think Jesus got such flesh and blood? He got it from his mother, Mary. Behold, in Mary's motherhood, we find the mystery of the incarnation itself. For how can he who is eternal God, ever blessed, have a mother? How can this virgin contain within her womb him who holds all things? How can a creature bear the Creator? What a mystery, right? Reason will never know these things. But faith bends the knee like Mary and believing and says, Mary did bear God, held God in her arms, and nursed God at her breast. Mary laid God in an infant bed, made meals for God, yea, was mother to God in every way proper for a mother to be a mother. For in this is the reality of the incarnation. God himself has become flesh, our flesh. Since this is so, he must also have a mother. In this way, all motherhood is sanctified and serves to show forth the humble manner in which our salvation was wrought. All generations must call the Virgin blessed, for so she is. And in truth, she has now become our mother, the mother of all who are in Christ Jesus, our Savior. You know, as Jesus says to his beloved disciple, behold your mother, he says that to us too. She is our mother in Christ. By faith, she is ours. Now, as Mary was of lowly state, in order that Christ might be born of lowly state, so also must we all humble ourselves and consider the lowly state of faith to be truly high and blessed in the sight of God. As Mary bore the Son of God in her body and conceived him by the Holy Spirit, so do we receive Christ by the Spirit and receive him into our own bodies. Think about the sacrament of the altar. God's Word is there, the Spirit, the life giver. And because the Word is there, we have exactly what Christ says, that this is my body and this is my blood. And where does he put this? But into our mouths, that we may eat and drink and receive Christ into our own bodies in spirit and truth. God be praised. What a wonderful, joyous mystery. Now, Mary was filled with Jesus' joy throughout her life, especially in her pregnancy, right? She was joyous during her pregnancy, joyous when he poured out his Spirit upon her, joyous when she was baptized into her Son's own death and resurrection for her salvation, joyous when she ate and drank his body and blood in the supper. For by this supper, Jesus came to abide within Mary yet again and there remain with her forever. By this mystery of the sacrament of the altar, Jesus made himself one flesh with Mary. He has forgiven her. He has cleansed her and purified her. He has saved her from death and hell. Yes, Mary's own Son has become her Savior. And so now she stands before him in heaven until the very end of the age. And because she is one with Jesus and all God's saints, she is filled to the brim with Jesus' unending, burning joy. And alleluia, there is yet more joy to come. For what are they doing up in heaven? As they rejoice, they also wait for you. They wait for the end times, for the last day, for the resurrection and the rebirth of God's saints, and for the ushering in of that new age of God's new creation, in which we shall abide with Jesus and Mary and all the saints forever. O Lord, as you have done to Mary, so do to us according to your word. And all God's servants said, Amen. God bless you all. I hope to see you soon, a couple days, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And that's the wonderful thing about Christmas. I mean, Christ Mass, right? The infant child who came in the flesh comes to us even now in our own day and our own time in the flesh through his word and spirit, right? Christ Mass, the sacrament of the altar to abide with you. So keep Christmas this year, my friends. Attend church, even if you're not a member at Trinity, attend the church near you, a sister congregation. Receive the baby Jesus, well, really the man, the crucified one. Receive him in flesh and blood, in the mystery of the altar. And rejoice like Mary with all the saints and angels, now and forever. Amen. God bless you all.